Our scripture passage this morning is Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, and then Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, and then Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Let us hear God's word. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven. But he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And then reading from the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we come before you now asking that you would fill us with the righteousness of Christ, that you would open up our hearts and our minds, you would give us ears to hear, you would bless the preaching and the hearing of your word to the glory of Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Many times in the clothing industry, one of the biggest problems is the selling of imitation merchandise. Illegally, people sell shoes and shirts and coats and watches. They look like the real thing, but they don't have the quality of the real thing. And it is not until something goes wrong, you know, the tread comes off the shoes or the thread on the coat begins to unravel or the watch stops, that we begin to see that we've been taken in, that we've been deceived by the con man. Well, there is another con artist at work, and he too sells an imitation of the real product, except he's not selling shoes and he's not selling watches. He is selling spiritual merchandise. Paul tells us in his letter, in his second letter to the Corinthians, that the devil can transform himself into an angel of light. Well, this shouldn't surprise us. Just as in the world of merchandise, the more excellent a thing is, the more it's going to be counterfeited. So in the realm of spirituality, the more excellent a thing is, it's going to be counterfeited. There are more counterfeits of silver and gold than there are of iron or copper. More counterfeits of diamonds than there are of just plain old rocks. So it should not surprise us that Satan seeks to pass himself off as something that's very excellent, something of great value, someone or something that is spiritually appealing. And not only does Satan pass himself off as an angel of light, but Satan, he can counterfeit the fruit of the Spirit. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. But how many times has lust been confused with true love? Patience and peace are fruits of the Spirit. But how many times has patience and peace be used as an excuse to do nothing and to not hold people accountable? Joy, that's a fruit of the Spirit. But how many times has joy been used to justify a person simply doing what they want to do? Well, you know, it brings me joy. It makes me happy. Therefore, it must be okay to do. Satan does counterfeit the work of the Spirit. And for our purposes this morning, let us understand that Satan does counterfeit the beatitude of hungering and thirsting after righteousness. What is the difference between true spiritual hunger for righteousness and earthly hunger for righteousness? Well, first, those who hunger after the counterfeit righteousness, they really hunger and thirst for a self-righteousness. They have a misunderstanding of God's blessing, whereas the biblical understanding is that blessings come to us from God, and all those blessings are undeserved. It is by the grace of God that God blesses us. The hypocrite understands blessings from God to be deserved, that they've done something to commend themselves to God, and so therefore God is under an obligation to bless them. We see this in Luke chapter 18. Jesus tells a parable directed to those who were confident of their own righteousness. The Pharisee in the temple, he goes to the temple, he goes to worship. We could even say he goes to church. And he prays. He looks up to heaven and says, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers and evildoers and adulterers, or even like this tax collector that's over here next to me. I fast twice a day and give a tenth of all I have. Notice these things about the Pharisee. He goes to church. He's a praying man. He gives a tithe. He gives of his money. He fasts. But he does all these things, and in his mind, by doing these things, therefore God is under an obligation to bless him. God is under an obligation to bless him because of his self-righteousness. You know, religion can be good or bad. Religion, as it points to Christ, as it humbles us before Christ, as it makes us dependent upon Christ, as it makes us desire and love Christ as the pearl of great price. Religion, as it works in us, willing to give up all for Christ, that is good. But a religion that seeks to promote our self-righteousness, to promote ourselves as being it on a stick, that is nothing but self-worship. Another example that we find in the Bible of this self-worship is King Saul. King Saul, the first king of Israel. The prophet Samuel had said to Saul that God had rejected him as king. But Saul was a man of self-righteousness. He hungered and thirsted for self-righteousness. He wanted to be adored and worshipped by the people. So he says to Samuel the prophet, come with me and let's go before the people. And you kind of put your stamp of acceptance upon me, so that the people will recognize that I am this great person. Now Saul was very religious. In that passage there in 1 Samuel chapter 15. Saul goes and he offers a sacrifice to God. He went through the motions. But as he went through the motions of worshiping God, the whole time he's thinking about really how he is God and how he is worthy of receiving blessings from God. He hungered and thirsted after righteousness, yes, but he was hungering and thirsting after his own self-righteousness. Another example from the scriptures is the person of Esau. Esau, he wanted the birthright from his father Isaac. In the birthright, there came a lot of material good things, a lot of wealth. But another aspect of the birthright was that the person who received the birthright would be the heir of God's promises to Abraham that through the person who received the birthright, the Messiah would eventually be born. Esau, he wanted the birthright. He didn't want the spiritual aspect of it. He just wanted the riches, the material wealth that came from it. Esau was self-righteous. And he wanted everybody to adore him and to worship him because he's the heir. The Pharisee in the temple, King Saul, Esau. These are all examples of people who hungered and thirsted after self-righteousness. And they were all hypocrites. The hypocrite hungers and thirsts for self-righteousness because he wants to worship himself and he wants others to worship him. But you see, there's a problem. And the problem is you can't serve two gods. One you're going to love, the other you're going to hate. And all along, while Israel was there in Egypt and they were enjoying the onions and the garlics of Egypt, they were never going to hunger from the manna that God was going to send them. In the same way, the soul that wants to feed his own ego and seeks to promote himself, he'll never look to heaven. He'll never look for a righteousness outside of himself. He will never look to Christ for help. Have you ever tried to keep your eye upon the earth and at the same time keep your eye upon the heavens? You know, you can try to do it, but you can't do it. You can't focus on the earth at the same time that you're focusing on heaven. Well, if you're focusing on your self-righteousness, you cannot then focus upon the righteousness that God gives as a free gift. You cannot serve both God and man. One you will love, the other you will hate. Another indication of one's hungering and thirsting after a counterfeit righteousness is that for the hypocrites, this desire for righteousness, it's always conditional. It's always conditional. He would have heaven. He wants the blessings of heaven, but only under one condition. And that is as long as he can keep the pleasures of the earth. The rich young ruler in our passage this morning, he asked Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus says, "You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud anyone. Honor your father and mother." The rich young ruler replied, "I've done all this since I was a kid." Jesus says, "Well, okay. One thing you lack. Go sell everything you have. Give it to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. Then you come and follow me." And the scriptures say that the young man's face fell because he was rich. He had great wealth. The rich young ruler wanted heaven. He wanted it so bad that he went to Jesus and said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" But he wanted eternal life with a condition. And that condition was, "I want eternal life as long as I can keep the things of the world." He wanted to keep his sin of idolatry. He wanted to keep his sin of covetousness because he was unwilling to give up his earthly possessions. I'll tell you, one of the saddest things in my 30 years of ministry is that I have experienced many people who say they want Christ, but they're unwilling to give up their sin. They hunger and thirst after righteousness, But they hunger and thirst after righteousness as long as they don't have to give up their unrighteousness. But the soul that truly hungers and thirsts after the righteousness that comes from heaven says, give me Christ on any terms. Let Christ set the conditions. Because nothing on earth I desire more than Christ. I will gladly seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. If I must put to death my sin, I'll do it. If I must deny myself and pick up the cross, where do I start? If I must forgive and love my enemies, then I will do them good. Remember the story of Ebenezer Scrooge as he meets the three ghosts of Christmas and he has the change of heart? What did he do? Did he just go home and sit by the fire and say, everything's good now? No, he immediately began to do what was right. Do what was right in the eyes of God. Those who hunger and thirst after the righteousness that only Christ can give, they say, the only condition is that I want to love Christ with all my heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. I'll give up the world if I can have Jesus. Another sign of counterfeit hunger for righteousness is that one's hunger for righteousness, it comes and goes. It is seasonal. It's like the warmth of the sun that gives way to the cold of winter. He who is a hypocrite, who hungers for the righteousness of God, is seasonal. And he will flip-flop. He will go from wanting the righteousness of Christ to the self-righteousness of the earth. In the parable of the sower and the seed, Jesus tells us of four different types of ground that the seed falls upon. Now, in the parable, as Jesus explains the parable, the seed is the Word of God. And the one who sows the seed, he's the preacher. So the preacher is preaching. He's preaching the Word of God. And the Word of God goes out to all those who will hear. And in this particular parable, there are four different types of ground that the seed falls upon, that the Word of God falls upon. In one case, the seed falls upon rocky ground. In another case, the seed falls upon ground that is covered over with thorns. But what is interesting to note in that parable is that in both of those cases, the seed quickly springs up. In other words, there is a reaction, a positive reaction, to the preaching of the word. But then over time, in some hearts, because they're not good ground, the seed is choked by the thorns. And in another case, though the seed quickly springs up, it withers because it has no root. One becomes concerned with earthly wealth. That's the thorns. The thorns represent earthly wealth. And because they are so concerned with earthly wealth, therefore the Word of God gets choked. Another is concerned about persecution. And because they are concerned about being persecuted for being a Christian, they wither. See, this is the picture of the hypocrite who hungers and thirsts after a self-righteousness because they do it only for a season. when their hunger is interrupted by the cares of the world or by the persecution that comes from being a Christian. The hypocrite, he leaves off his first love. He does not continue to hunger and thirst for Christ. Instead, he hungers and thirsts for what the world can give. But the seed that falls upon good soil, it perseveres. No matter what the change of climate, it perseveres. If there are worldly cares, they seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness because they know that God has promised to provide all things. If there is persecution because of the faith, they're not going to abandon their desires for righteousness. Instead, they're going to be like Paul, who has learned the secret of being content. You know, when Paul writes that to the Philippians, that he has learned the secret of being content. And he tells the Philippians that they need to learn this as well. Do you know the situation that he was in? He's not sitting on the beach drinking a cold lemonade. No, he's locked up in prison. Paul says that he's learned the secret of being content. And that secret is Jesus Christ, that he can trust Christ for all things. He can bear all things because of Jesus Christ who gives him strength. The desire of a godly person, the desire of someone who truly hungers and thirsts after the righteousness of Christ, is like the beating of a pulse. As long as there is life there, that pulse beats. In the temple, the fire on the altar was not to go out day and night. The fire would burn day and night. The priests would see that the fires did not go out. Those who hunger and thirst after the righteousness day and night burn for the righteousness of Christ. The fire does not go out. And if the flame then begins to burn low, they feed it with the Word of God. They feed it with prayer. They feed it with the sacraments. And that which was burning low then becomes a flame. But a true child of God, and understand this, a true child of God may have the experience of saying, I do not have that hunger that I first had for Christ. There was a time in my life that I called the Sabbath day of delight because I hungered for the Word. I came to the sacrament as a hungry man wanting to feed off of Christ. But now I don't have the hunger that I had years ago. Maybe what I was hungering for was a counterfeit righteousness and not the righteousness of Christ. While it is indeed a sign that a man is ill when he's lost his appetite, yet it is a sign of life that he is concerned that he has lost his appetite. Though the pulse may beat weakly, yet there's true life there. And though the faith may be as small as a mustard seed, yet if it is fed with the Word of God, if it is fed with the sacraments, if it is fed with prayer, that which is weak will be strengthened again. Satan can counterfeit the work of the Spirit. Those who simply wish for righteousness to make them acceptable to everyone and to be admired and worshipped by everyone, there will come a day that they will be very disappointed that the righteousness that they hungered for would not be a righteousness that would let them stand on the day of judgment. But those who hunger for Christ Those who hunger for Christ because He is Christ, because He is God, because in Him is found eternal life. Those who know that they have no righteousness of their own, but look to Christ for that covering. Oh, my friend, they shall never be disappointed. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after the righteousness of Christ, because in time they shall be filled. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank You for the righteousness that You have provided us through Jesus Christ. Oh, heavenly Father, every one of us knows that there are days that our love for You, our hunger for Christ, does not burn as brightly as it should. Oh, heavenly Father, help us to understand that at those times, let us feed upon Your Word. Let us come before You in prayer. Let us feast upon the sacrament. Oh, heavenly Father, in those weak times, give us grace that we would look to You for strength. Give us humble hearts that we would wait and depend upon the righteousness of Christ for us. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.